I call the meeting of the Community Services Committee together. Present for this meeting is President Hartley Nagel, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Shelton, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Bell, I'm sorry, Councilman Carter, Councilman Bell, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Carrier, Councilwoman Durham, Councilman Woods. The co-trailer is taking the minutes for this meeting, and I'm Penrose Hollins. Approval of minutes from the meeting of the 28th of May.
Make no permanent distribution.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
There's a correction to this meeting. I think we had omitted the presence of, this not this meeting?
No, next one.
Or it's executive committee meeting. Okay, I'm sorry. Just disregard that. We'll move on to the consideration of ordinances. Ordinance number 19-062, amend the grants budget, appropriate $205,000, $375,000 in anticipated state of Delaware grant and AIDS funds to the Ab Jones Senior Center. This is just an annual appropriation to Ab Jones. We'll move on to the next item, item number 19-065, amend the grants budget, appropriate funding from Newcastle County Council to the Senior Home Repair Program grant, which is administered by the Department of Community Services. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a ordinance that Councilwoman Diller and I have coupled on to send our excess funds that we had left over to the Senior Home Repair Program in order to help some of our seniors through their hardest times and the repairs that they need to do to their homes and stuff. So this money will supplement the program and the funding that's already existing in community services.
Thank you, Councilman. And the next item, item number 19-066. I'm sorry. General Manager?
GM for Community Services, Marcus, and on behalf of Terry's department, I want to thank you for support for this program. It's going to help a lot. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Try every year.
The next item, 19-066, is actually the companion to 19-065.
Exactly.
So we'll move on to ordinances. Ordinance number 19-067, amend the grants budget, appropriate funding of $42,000 from the Delaware State Housing Authority Housing Development Fund to the HDF Homeownership 104 Blue Hen Drive grant. So we will have Carrie Casey speak to this. And this is also connected with item 5 on this agenda, the Delaware State Housing Authority New Owner Occupied Home Repair Reservation Program.
Good afternoon. I'm Carrie Casey with the Department of Community Services. I just talked briefly about a new state home repair program that Delaware State Housing Authority just recently unveiled, which is directly related to that ordinance. So I have just a one-pager I'm going to hand out. Delaware State Housing Authority has decided to create what they call a homeownership preservation program that is funded by reservations. So basically, they put aside $500,000. Here's a little one-pager about it. And jurisdictions that currently have home repair programs are automatically eligible to take part in the program. So the reason that I'm telling you guys this is that for each reservation that we as a division submit, we will be coming to County Council for approval because they're all their separate individual projects. Okay, so that's where the Blue Hen Drive project comes in. So just very briefly, it's a new program. There's $500,000 that's been put aside for this program. Nonprofit organizations and community development block entitlements, which Newcastle County is one, are eligible to apply. The thing with this specific program, and as we come to the department, we come to council all the time, we try to use every single grant program that we can possibly find. So this is a new program for owner-occupied home repair that is only eligible in areas where we have a active, strong neighborhood housing fund grant. So we've come to council numerous times. We have been funded for the state. It was bank settlement money for the Route 9 corridor, for the Strong Neighborhood Housing Fund, round 1 and 2. And we just heard, and we'll be coming to council in the next 6 to 8 weeks, that the county was successful in applying for the Strong Neighborhood Housing Fund 3. We'll be receiving $400,000 from state money to do some work along Collins Park, which continues our work down the Route 9 corridor, but also including Edgemoor Gardens. The state made a few more neighborhoods eligible for us to apply for, so we applied for those two communities. Because if you can believe it, the Route 9 corridor from Rose Gate, City Lines, City Wilmington Lines to Overview Gardens, we've done so many houses in there that we're having a really difficult time finding properties that are in our price range to purchase. We've seen housing prices rise by over 50% in that area, and we've probably done 65 properties altogether in there. So we're really seeing it. So now we're moving into Collins Park, and the state also allowed that one. They give us a map. They also let us apply for Edgemoor Gardens. So those are the communities that we're allowed to apply for owner-occupied home repair. The minimum grant size, this is a grant, it's a 10-year forgivable grant, is the minimum amount is $20,000. The maximum amount is $35,000. There is no match required. So this is basically, I hate to say it, but kind of free money for the county to take advantage of for owner-occupied homes in this area. There's also a 20% admin fee that we're allowed to take for the work that's being done. So the income limits are 80% of area median income. So for a family of four, about $42,000. And we have plenty of people on our home repair waiting list that meet mm-hmm. those criteria that live in these neighborhoods. Newcastle County. So the way that it's going to work, if you see the ordinance that will be introduced tonight and then voted on July 9th, what Department of Finance wanted us to do is appropriate the full amount, which is $42,000. So that would be the $35,000 plus the 20% admin. And that will appropriate it in tier, and then hopefully you all will approve it July 9th. Our reservation is good for 6 months to do the work. Currently, and it's a 10-year forgivable grant, so the person has to remain in the home for 10 years, or if they sell, they have to sell to a homeowner. I mean, well, you know, it's a prorated thing. Now, if they move and they rent it or it becomes vacant, they have to pay back like a prorated amount. So this project, just a little bit about 104. So we'll be coming, and also the exciting part of it is we are the first jurisdiction to get a reservation. So no one else has tapped into that 500,000 yet. So we were really excited to be the first with the state, as well as we're kind of the guinea pig though. So there's been some, learning the process with the state and the county. So if this gets approved July 9th, we'll be able to help a family. That's what the address is on the Blue Hen Road. It's in Collins Park. It's actually a brother and sister that need, they're elderly and they want to remain in their home, but they need some accessibility improvements to their home, a ramp, they also need a handicap accessible bathroom and some other, we have an aging housing stock in Newcastle County. So this will bring the house up to where they can live in it for the long term. The approximate amount is $24,000 for the actual work. But when we talked, this is a new program with Department of Finance, so we wanted to make sure they wanted to appropriate the full amount in case, we wouldn't want to come back, right. And so we hope that we will be able to use this particular program in these specific neighborhoods until the reservation program runs out. It's a first come, first serve program. So we're the first. So that we just thought, because you're going to be voting on it July 9th, Marks and I thought it'd be a good idea just to give a really brief overview of the program and how it will work.
Thank you very much. Councilman Smalley?
The first thing I want to say is, and I know the county didn't have anything to do with the parameters that were being put around it, but I'm glad to see that the housing initiatives for Route 9 corridor have finally gotten south of the 295 yep. barricade that seemed to be there, because yep. everything was north of that.
Right.
That being said, and I don't know how this works, because we keep talking about communities, Edgemoor Gardens, Collins Park, Holloway Terrace, Rose Gate. But when you go south of Collins Park on the east side of Route 9, there are several, how can I put it, townhouse streets. They're not communities. They don't have community names. They were built just as a street. They don't, they have no link to each other or anything else. How do we bring them into the fold as independent areas of need?
Right. Well, it, Carrie Casey, this is actually census tract driven. So as, I mean, I guess for clarity's sake, when we do these programs, we actually have to be in a certain census tract.
Well,
so when with any of those townhouse communities fall in that census tract, I think it's 158 or 159. I'm not sure. It's on the opposite. It's not on the side where Swanwick is.
Yeah,
on
the
that
east side.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On the east side.
Then that was a new area that the state made available for us to apply for. So it's not the neighborhood. So we just it's easier for us to explain it. But we have to make sure that we can, but it's census tract driven.
So I understand that it's census tract, but like I said, we're always referencing neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And these aren't, on the west side, all of those pockets, they do have a neighborhood name because they're all older.
Sure.
Or single family homes.
Yeah.
The townhouses are on the left.
Yeah.
Where the developer went in, filled out one street, made his money, and left.
Yeah.
And so
well, we might be able to assist as long as they're in that census tract.
So I just maybe if you could take a look at
sure,
that.
Sure, be happy to. If you give me an address, we can.
I'll give you the address. I have the streets, so I'll get that information to you by the end of the week. Fall in there, you just don't want to watch because I know there are some in there that really need some help.
Yeah, and Edgemoor, it's 107.02, so it's not specifically just Edgemoor Gardens, but we. That was kind of where our focus was with our application because we were able to really show need. It was difficult for us, at least with strong neighborhoods, to show that we were going to a neighborhood south of Wilmington and a neighborhood north of Wilmington when they want us to do one neighborhood. So we were able to show the argument that both of those neighborhoods needed the impact of the strong neighborhood housing fund.
No, I can understand the question that happens when we try to redistrict.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, and I understand that we do have to look at the census data, but every need is not necessarily in an established neighborhood, and I think that we need to be mindful of that because there's pockets of need throughout Newcastle County that may not necessarily fit into a particular neighborhood. So I think that's a very valid point. Councilman Carter. And then Councilman Tackett.
I wanted to build on the census tract. You know, we just did the inventory working with students. And Townsend, for instance, had, Little Townsend had 24 deteriorated homes right in that area. If you look at the census tract for the around the rural area, it is huge. So we would never get captured in this population. So going forward, it would be interesting to get any ideas about how we see those clusters that we know we have a problem. It will never show up in a census tract because the rural area where we have a lot of that low income, we struggle, I think, in the rural area of how to deal with that.
Right. Carrie Casey with the division, and again, like this is just one specific program that we were able to take advantage of that the state said, okay, guys, you're only eligible to apply in these census tracts. And we would, so it gives us where we can free up to then help, So it's basically a new program. But unfortunately, those census tracts, it's very distressed, looking at the most distressed communities in the county, and that's a concentration of housing. So you're right, we can look at other programs for that.
Councilman Tackett, then Smalley.
I was hoping you were going to call Councilman Dave, and then I could have beat him to the thing. I just want to kind of piggyback. Carrie, again, thank you so much for this, and Marcus, I mean, this is phenomenal. I'm glad that you guys were able to secure this type of funding and identify this and get it secured. And then just kind of piggybacking on that a little bit is, my fellow Councilman Dave just said, we get a lot of requests into our office, like through that Wellington Woods area, the Sparrow Run area. That's a highly, highly area that doesn't see a lot of activity and stuff that happens. The Glasgow Pines area and then our Four Seasons area down there where the townhomes are really a area that this is neglected. So I'm hoping perhaps with you getting this money that you can concentrate there, it'll free up other monies in order to concentrate. So Good. Thank you.
Councilman Smalley, then Councilman Cartier.
And I know there, and it's not our formula. I know there has to be a formula in order to do it. But again, I'll just express my displeasure with the way census tracts, the federal government, whatever, decides where they are. I mean, they moved to census tracts in the 7th district approximately a quarter mile. That was just enough to encompass a neighborhood that was more well-to-do than the rest, and knock that whole block out of being eligible for some of the federal programs because it increased it. As a lady told me, I'm still in the same house with the same income, shopping at the same store, but now I'm not. We're not eligible for whole neighborhoods. Got knocked out. And I know it's not us, but it is. I don't have to tell you it's tough to explain because I'm sure you had to do it a lot more than I did. But okay.
Councilman Cartier?
I just want to extend my sincere gratitude to your department for all the aggressive work that you do pursuing these housing funds in the creative fashion that you do it. And I know you're operating in program constraints dictated by HUD and Delaware State Housing Authority, but you guys are the best. You go get the money and you get it out and plow it in our communities where we can best put it to the best of our ability. And I just think you're fantastic. And the record shows clearly Community Services of New Castle County reigns supreme with this housing issue. And I just want you to keep on doing what you do. Thank you.
Carrie, I have a question regarding the 10-year requirement. What happens in the event that someone passes away within before that 10-year?
They're required to sign, the client is required to sign what they call a grant restriction agreement from the state. And if the key is that the house not selling or transferring. So if it stays in the family, I don't think that they have to pay it back. But if the house sells or transfers, even if it's to another homeowner, I think there's a recapturable amount with the grant. But if as long as it stays within the family, because a lot of times, you know, you'll have an elderly parent, because most of our clients are elderly. I mean, about 80% of our home repair clients. As long as it stays in the family, there's no transfer, they would not have to pay back the 10-year. It goes down every year they live in the house. That'll be the one thing. These folks were willing to sign it, but you know, especially with our senior population, they have a hard time signing any kind of lien.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it is much more advantageous than our program, which is a mostly deferred
right.
loan. But we require payment upon sale or transfer.
Right.
So this is actually much. We're really going to push this, at least in these communities, because it is actually a pretty good program for the person living in the house, but they can't sell it without paying some of the proration back as part of the proceeds of the sale.
Thank you very much. And I know that's that is really a disincentive for a lot of the seniors when there is the notion that there's going to have to be a payback at some point in time. I don't get it, but you know, you have a hard time selling it oftentimes because they would prefer to just live the way it is and not put this burden on their kids. Councilwoman Durham.
I just had a quick question. So I got the impression from what you described that can you only go after one at a time?
We can have two, Carrie Casey, we can have two open reservations. So it is there's a lot of front end work putting the reservation in, and then, so we can have two open reservations. So we can only have two cases open. So this will be one, and then we'll work on the second one. But it's a guarantee. If they give us the reservation, they can't say like, oh, you know, sorry, we had 10 other reservations come in. Once they give us that reservation, we're going to then go into ordinance because it's going to take, you know, 6 weeks to get it approved. And we only have 6 months to get the work done, which doesn't seem like a lot, but with homeowners, again, homeowners, there's a lot, you know, you're doing work in their house. They might not want you for a week or two. You know, the contractor has to work through those things. But we can only have two active ones at a time. So we will only have two. Once this one's done, we can start another one.
Councilwoman Hartley-Nager?
What happens when a contractor goes in and then as they get started on the work, they find there's more problems and go over budget?
Well, Carrie Casey with the department, that's why it goes up to 35. What we have found, our home repair specialist they go into the house initially. And nine times out of 10, I mean, because of the aging housing stock we have, and because people are worried about having people come into their home, when you come in, somebody comes in and says, I need a new roof, we go in and they also need new heating. I mean, there's, you know, housing is, we'll say, you need more than one thing. And so this grant program is also really great because the minimum is $20,000. So we're really going to be able to target clients that need substantial rehab done to their home. We should have a pretty good idea because our home repair specialist is going in and doing the whole, you know, overview of work before we even put the reservation in. So we should have we'll be in the house. We'll know what's needed. For this one, for example, it's about $24,000, I think. In the case that we go in and we, you know, see there's termite damage, or they can do a change order of up to $35,000 of state money. Now, gosh forbid, if we see it and there's, you know, we could always, you know, supplement with some of our CDBG money if we had to. But this gives us a little flexibility, which is nice, as well as going to ordinance. We already have it appropriated. But those change orders have to go through like a whole system of approval, and it's we'll pretty much know going in how much work we're going to be doing on each property.
Right. So I had one constituent, and actually you may even remember hearing about her. But there was a contractor that went in. They didn't finish the work, and so then her son came in and paid to finish it, and then couldn't get paid back. But she had to live for a couple years with everything in disarray and not finished. So we won't have that problem, correct? We'll have the money to whatever we start.
Right.
We leave them in a position that something is not undone.
We have 6 months the work done, yeah. And that situation was very unique. I mean, that was an NSP property where the contractor actually passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of particulars there, but this is a totally separate program.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Councilman Smalley?
No, I'm good, thank you.
You're good?
She answered.
Any further questions on the new program from members of council? Any questions from any members of the public? The next item on the agenda is the 2020 census update. We're not quite prepared to present that today, so we were still working on that, and that will come before council at a later date. I've asked Nicole Waters to join us here this afternoon. Nicole, as you all know, is the manager of our CDBG. And as Councilman Cartier was speaking earlier about the work that is done at Community Services, I just felt that Nicole Waters also plays a very critical part in what goes on there through CDBG. But not only that, I think that it's one thing to be a manager and do certain things as your job, but to put your boots on the ground, to really get that incentivized about your work. And that's why I asked Nicole to come here this afternoon. Nicole was a recipient of the Jefferson Award. She's just getting back from Washington, where she represented us in D.C. So I think it speaks volumes for Nicole to actually volunteer to go out and do the head count of the homeless people in Newcastle County. And then after going and having that experience to create a program to provide assistance to those to the homeless population, and Nicole created Blessings in a Bag, and that program provides toiletries, et cetera, things to people that are homeless that they need to survive. And she did this all on her own, and she got other folk to come in to join her community and others. So I just wanted Nicole to come here today. She came under the guise that I had some questions about CDBG, so she brought the whole CDBG package. I'm sorry, Nicole.
Yeah,
but
you're
not sorry.
Up all night.
But I just really wanted Nicole to share with us, you know, her experience in counting the homeless population and so forth, and what it led to. If you just take a minute or so to just make us aware of what really, I read about it in the newspaper, and I was kind of excited when I saw one of our people extending what she does for a living and then volunteering on her own time. So,
sure.
Nicole.
I thought it was something about a program or something. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I thought it was something about our plan or something.
Relax,
you need. It's a lot easier now, yeah.
The job's still on the line.
Yeah, in 2014, I participated in my first homeless count. They call them a point in time count, in which you go out into the communities or you're stationed in a shelter and you interview people who are literally homeless. So I opted to go out in the streets and interview homeless populations. And we asked them a series of questions, questionnaire that's developed by the Housing Alliance of Delaware, to kind of get an idea of how they became homeless, what services that they need and what they require, see if they would benefit from going into a shelter or if they qualify for rapid rehousing, things like that. That information is then taken and analyzed, and we submit it to our continuum of care and then submit it to HUD for funding, and that's how we get funding for our homeless population in the city. So the first year we did it, it was just really sad to see people on the street, you know. You see people when you're driving, but you don't get a chance to talk to people or, you know, have a conversation with them. Everybody was very friendly, extremely helpful. They didn't mind answering questions. And we're going out in the middle of the night, like, it's late, it's cold. It's the end of January. And that particular year, it was really cold, and we were assigned to teams, outreach workers. And we were under bridges, we were in bushes, we were just everywhere. Like, not the normal places I would think to look, you know, beside a restaurant or a store. Like, they're hidden, they're really hidden. They don't want to be found. And because they're afraid they could move. Some of them thought we were there to lock them up, things like that. So we interviewed them, and I just remember walking away from them, like, thinking, I can't give them a home right now. One day everybody will have a home, but we can't do it right now. But I just didn't feel right leaving them without things that they needed. And so I also serve on the Housing Alliance Delaware Board, and we had a meeting. And I remember at that time we were talking, and our executive director at the time, Mark Platnell from Ministry of Caring, he used to be with Ministry of Caring, he said, we're not just here to sign papers and, you know, push papers. We're here to do something, to be active. And he was like, so I charge everyone in this room to go home and do something, you know, to help the people we're serving. So on my way home, I just kind of just like prayed to God and asked him to guide me of what I can do. And I knew in college I had done some fundraising efforts for AID Hospital. For my church, I had done fundraising efforts. And I says, okay, I'm going to do a fundraiser. What do they need? And I just went home. I got on Facebook, and I just made an event Facebook page. I'm not very techie, so I just invited all my friends, created an event, and said, you know, this is what I need everybody to collect toiletries. I downloaded some things from Google about what to include, and I asked everybody to get those items together. And so, and we had our next point in time count. That's when we were going to distribute them. And then when I got to work and shared it with a couple people at work who are also my Facebook friends, they were like, we want to do it, we want to get involved. And the county executive at that time then said, we want to put up the bins in every library, I want everybody to do this. And everybody just got on board. And even till now, it's like, I get calls constantly from people. So we collected over 1,000 bags in just 2 months. And we had so many, everyone received bags. And the people that we handed bags to were just very appreciative. They just said, somebody cared. It was really good. A lot of fraternities, sororities, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, churches, everybody was involved. And people wrote personal notes, told them, you know, keep their head up. This is just an experience. You're going to get out of this. You're going to get through this. You know, it was just really nice. People were very caring. I remember one of the Girl Scouts, she was like, well, I made bags because they may have a pet with them. So it was like a pet bag. And people got really creative. We had diva bags. We had all kinds of sports bags. And I remember having the sports bags there, and a couple of the guys came into the shelter. That's when I gave them out the next year. And they were kind of like razzing each other about the Eagles and the Broncos, I don't know. And I said to the lady that was beside me, see, I think that's what people need to see, is that they're human. They're just like us. They're human. They're just experiencing something right now that's temporary. Because they came in, nobody wanted the Eagle bag. Because so I sat there until one guy came and it was like, that's my team, I'm taking it. And you know, it was just really good. And my hope in the end was just to, you know, get people involved and to do something. And it has, it's grown now. It's not just toiletries. People call me, they donate clothing, toys, baby items, and you name it. I'm getting so many things, and I encourage people, don't just give me what you feel, oh, I'm going to throw this out. Like, I don't take things that are like that. I want things that are things that you wear that you, you know, maybe can't fit anymore, but, you know, or you want to clean out your closet, and people really go above and beyond and give their best to others. And that's, you know, and my management is so supportive, and everybody, I mean, we created like a DVD of all the pictures. So as everybody was donating, I encouraged them to upload their pictures of the children shopping for the items and put it on this event page. So they did that. And people use the MLK Day of Service now every year to assemble bags and give out. And county council, you guys all participated a couple years ago when I first started. I remember a lot of the council aides, you know, they made ladies' bags and made men's bags. It was just really phenomenal. And it's just grown and taken off. And going to D.C. was a surprise to me, and it was wonderful. And I just met a lot of nice people who are doing really big things. And I said when I came back, I wanted to see about getting my nonprofit, because my initial plan was to have like one, you know, space that housed, you know, donations of toiletries, and that the outreach workers could just go there and go shopping for the people that they serve and get them what they need and they can see them. Because when we assembled a lot of the bags and got a lot of the items, you know, it was just touching. I went to one agency and I opened up the trunk and I'm giving everybody stuff, and you know, people were coming back to me saying, I already have a hat, you can take this hat, or can I give this to my buddy, or, you know, just to see the compassion that people had. And you know, so I figured maybe they don't need all the things that we include in the bags, but they may have specific needs that we can get them so they're able to get into shelter. And of course all the bags also include information about our resources and services, so that if they want to enter into a facility, they can, and we know who to contact. So thank you. I appreciate
Well, thank you very much. I mean, that's a great story. I appreciate you following your passion, and just to have someone with us that's actually committed to the population that's among us that certainly needs all of our attention and as many resources as we can provide to them. But for you to go beyond what you do here in your capacity to do it on your own time is just commendable. So I definitely appreciate all that you're giving back to our communities, and congratulations on getting the Jefferson Jackson Award. So any members of council want to add anything to Nicole while she's here? Councilman Bell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anyone sitting here that just listened to your presentation, faith, love, compassion, you're very special.
Thank you.
Very special.
She's trying to clear up down there.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I appreciate it.
Now for the CDBG.
Is there anything council members have under other? Seeing none, any public comment? Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.